Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And it's a great day to die to yourself. It's a great day to die to you. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. That was the formula Jesus gave us for victory. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Boy, what a tough job that is, isn't it sometimes? To deny yourself. Because we have the I syndrome. I got to do, I want to do, I think this, I think that, I believe that, ay, ay, ay. Of course, we call that a demonic pizza, don't we? But you know, in the areas of I syndrome and in the areas of not denying self, that means that we are being influenced. We are being influenced. When we do not deny ourselves, we are being influenced from denying ourselves. See, because there's the seen realm, the unseen realm, and then the unseen realm is where your influence is affecting, where the influence of the unseen realm is affecting each and every human being. Nothing is manifested in this realm without being influenced from the unseen realm. Nothing. But it was a wonderful thing that Jesus did because he came from the unseen realm, came into the natural realm, and by coming into the natural realm, he defeated the unseen realm of darkness in his kingdom. And those who are following him, and I'm going to want to say that word follow, have victory. You can say you believe, but if you don't follow, how can you have victory? It's impossible. Then you play religion. Amen. We have confirmation here. Yeah. So in this, I can't emphasize enough, and we've been talking about this, in the area where we must make the unseen seen. Victory is established by making the unseen seen. When the unseen is not seen, you're easily influenced. If you're not recognizing what you're being influenced by, you will always stay in bondage. So everybody got it? And one of the things that Jesus paid the price for me and you is to be free. The word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In other words, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that means that you are allowing the Spirit of the Lord to lead your life. If you're not allowing the Spirit of the Lord to lead your life, you cannot be free. It's impossible. The word says that truth sets us free. But in that true meaning, it says those who practice the truth are free. So you can't be being led by the Spirit of God without practicing the truth. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is bondage. But I'm a believer. Let me tell you, the devil's no respecter whether you're a believer or not. He could care less. He looks at you as the same. But he does know whether you're backed by the anointing or not. You are backed by the anointing as you are submissive to the Spirit. When you are not submissive to the Spirit, you are not backed by the anointing. That's why believers backslide. That's why they go out and do stupid stuff. That's why they become worldly again. That's why they touch unclean things. That's why they compromise. They look for fulfillment in the flesh, in the natural realm. That's why there's bitterness and unforgiveness and offense. All of that's not of the Spirit. None of that is. That's all. Those are all fruits of self-survival. Those are walls that a person builds because they are rejecting the leading of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that breaks the yoke of bondage. In other words, it's the Spirit that breaks those walls. But you must cooperate with the Spirit for these walls to be broke. Again, I want to emphasize again, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Turn to John 10. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, who is the carrier of the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, he guides us to all truth. He speaks all truth. And he reveals Jesus. Not only does he reveal Jesus to us, but he reveals him in us, and he reveals him through us. I'm going to say that again. Not only does he reveal him to us, but he reveals himself in us, and he reveals himself through us. Because the relationship is within. The work of the Holy Spirit is essential. In fact, he was left with me and you by Christ. In fact, he's the one who impregnated Mary. And he left his spirit so that you and I could receive his spirit and walk just like Jesus. The purpose of his spirit was to overcome. It's to overcome what? Overcome deception. Overcome the enemy's ploy. Overcome yourself. All of these areas. Because Satan's greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. And in John chapter 10 and verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his. You know, there are people, the only voice they hear is their flesh. They haven't even heard the voice of God in years. There are believers, so-called believers, that are believers 30 years and still haven't heard the voice of God yet. They're led by every wind of emotion and doctrine. They're led by everything that they feel. They're led by everything that they see, never hearing God's voice. Never. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Wow. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. He goes where? Before them. Well, if he goes before them, that means you're following then, right? And the sheep what? And the sheep what? The sheep follow him. This is called believing. The sheep follow him. Sheep that do not follow him do not believe. For they know his voice. So would obedience be a sheep that follows? Yes. Yeah, they know his voice. They know, see, the Holy Spirit will speak to us in conviction. He convicts us. Come on, you know that ain't right. Come on, don't do that. Don't you think it's time you gave that up? Don't you see what's going on? This is how he speaks to us. You know I love you. See, when he convicts us, he waits for the adjustment. Without the adjustment, he steps back. Then he steps in again and says, you remember? When the adjustment's not made, he steps back again. And he waits. Because he's gentle. He waits to be invited. Now, if you're having a relationship with him and you're caught up in something and you're about to get hurt, believe me, he can be very aggressive. He'll even grab you. He'll even prevent you from moving. That's happened to me. I couldn't even move because of relationship. See, everything is dependent on relationship. You wouldn't give your keys to your car to someone you didn't know. At least I hope not. You wouldn't give your keys to a house, to your house, say, go on in unless you knew them. It's amazing how we give away the keys of the kingdom to the powers of darkness and never even use them. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Yet they will not by no means follow a what? A stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. In other words, it doesn't mean that they don't know the voice of the strangers, but they choose not to know that voice anymore. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, and most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who's the thief? Satan, Satan's kingdom. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He already gave us the key to us. What did he say? Know my voice and follow. Know my voice and follow. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, the one who's hired, the one, and he's warning us now. He says, there are going to be those who are, their purpose now has been led from following Christ to lead to following money. In other words, they're doing service now for money and not for the purpose of the kingdom. He said, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and a wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. What's he telling us? He's telling us that the money, what, influence many shepherds. You know, let me share something with you. Ministry is not a job. It is a life. Many people are concerned about money. And there's nothing wrong with getting paid. And, of course, we need money and so forth. But when it becomes an area where the balance of serving God or not serving God by money, I'll never forget I went into this office of this gentleman who was head over all kinds of stuff. And he was on the phone. And he was looking for another job as a pastor. And this is when I was a baby in Christ. And he was, his whole thing where he was going to go, he kept on, look at, I can preach. That's what he was saying. I can preach. Whatever church gives me the highest bid is the one I'll go to. I slowly backed up out of that office. Ciao. I don't want to be here when fire comes down. No sense associating with this. But I realized, wow, the Lord said to me, he's a hireling. His purpose is money. He uses my information. He used my revelation. But at one time, he was a servant. Now he serves himself. I thought, wow. See, the enemy knows how to influence to turn our hearts. He turned our hearts. Look at, this is where added. In fact, the word even tells us that those servants of the Lord who don't serve him joyfully will be turned over to the tormentors. Whoa. They're turned over to the tormentors. I don't want to be turned over to the tormentors, so I choose to serve him joyfully. And I don't serve him for money. Not that I couldn't use some, but praise God. Those that follow money, he's warning us. These will, there's those who follow Christ. They're about kingdom business, and there are those who are about self business. Amen. Again, there's two influences: the influence of one who is the Holy Spirit, and there's the influence of the other who is the Satan and his kingdom, the powers of darkness. They influence the soul and the flesh. The Holy Spirit influences your spirit, so that you have dominion over your soul and your flesh. So when your soul pops up and says, don't you feel like, your spirit says, no. When I had my visitation from the Lord and was filled with the Holy Ghost, I did not know the Word of God, but I knew the Word. I didn't read the Word of God, but the one who wrote the Word was in me and filled. I was filled. I was overflowed with the presence of God. Man, I felt like Jesus. I could feel His presence. I could feel His character. I could feel His heart. I knew what pleased him, displeased him. I knew this demons that were coming. I used to see demons on people's backs and all kinds of stuff. Dreams and visions and all kinds of things that were happening. And one of the things that always happened to me because I didn't have enough word, I was brand new in the spirit, that when my soul started to perk up, my spirit rose up and said, no, no. In fact, when that serpent was trying to bite my dog and I said, Lord, what'd I do? Out of my body turned around and put my hands toward that serpent and said, from the love of God, I curse you, Satan. Now, I didn't read that anywhere. Because when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're filled with the character of Christ, with authority and dominion. There is no fear. There's no hesitation. This is the way it is. There's no option of going another way. There's no option there. None. There's no option to fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's a no-no. No option. So when people come up to me and tell me that they're spirit-filled and still in the works of the flesh, they are not spirit-filled. They have put the anointing on dormant because they have been influenced by darkness. And the anointing is now dormant. He wants to move, but they won't let him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not what? Lose heart. We can't lose heart, no matter what. Losing heart is not an option. But we have renounced. We have what? Renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's the message of truth, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. They are perishing. They are decaying. They are withering away. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And even when they have knowledge, if they don't use it, they're still being destroyed. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age, or ruler of this world, who keeps mankind in darkness, to use as his servants to promote his agenda to be like God. That's what his purpose is. He is promoting, he grabbed. Now, there are those who willingly serve Satan's kingdom. Those are called servants. Those who are not willingly serving Satan's kingdom, even though they are, by deception, are called slaves. They are slaves. And then he uses man for not only servants, slaves, but also food, because the demons get fed by emotion. All of this is done because of his hatred towards God and his desire to be God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections or the influence of the unseen. Has everybody got it? These affections are restricting them from doing what is right because they are being influenced by the unseen. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as to children. You also be open. And now he tells them, this is what's going on. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Bad company corrupts good habits. Associations bring impartations. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? Lawlessness. And what communion has light with darkness? Now he begins to, now he's going to expose the spirit. He says, in what accord has with what? Belial. Belial. I want to talk about the spirit of Belial today because it's very important. And in this Belial, it was another name for Satan at this time. Satan uses him. In fact, there's many myths and so forth about Belial. But he is known as the Lord of the demons and the Lord of the flesh. He is known as the Lord of the demons and the Lord of the flesh. Belial. His name, that name Belial, is also known as Belair. It's pretty amazing in how, remember the Chevy, Belair Chevy? Man, if you realize how many names that are named Nike and all of this other stuff and whatever, and what they represent, goddesses and gods and all of that. It's amazing when you begin to know the same thing, the word lucky, which came from the word Lucifer, and all the deceptions that people use and are speaking demonic influence in their own lives, with all the slangs and everything else that the world is discussing. Again, Belial, another name for Satan's rule, is known as the Lord of demons and the Lord of flesh. Also known as, then he's known as Beelzebub, which is known as Lord of the Flies. But Belial, very important about this name, and I think it's very vitally important because one of the things that the Spirit has been sharing with me for probably the last year is about binding the spirit of Belial, because he utilizes demons to influence your flesh. There are called spirits of the flesh. There are spirits of the soul. These are influencers, unseen influencers. In Ephesians chapter 2. No, I don't want to go there yet. Hold on. Let's go back to 15. And what accord is Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? Why? Because he's saying, look, a believer is supposed to be influenced by the Spirit of God, but the unbeliever being influenced by the spirit of Belial. He says here that it's associated with lawlessness. In fact, the word Belial means worthless and lawlessness. Means worthless and lawlessness. In other words, it has no use. In verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The word therefore in verse 17 means if you'll do this, if you'll come out from among them, if you'll be separate, says the Lord, and that you don't touch what is unclean, then I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. The next verse says, therefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the what? Flesh. Because Belial is Lord of the flesh. And spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Belial also is known as Belair. Ephesians chapter 2. The spirit of Belial. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? He says, "In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Read verse 2 with me. "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," Bel-Air, "the spirit who now works in the sons of" what? These are known as sons of Belial. You and I were sons and daughters of Belial when we were in the flesh until we were born again. When you go back in the flesh, see, he considers you his children still. Even though that you are saved, washed by the blood, and filled with the Spirit, he still considers you his sons and daughters. "The Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our" what? "Flesh, fulfilling the desires of the" flesh "and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others," or children of Belial. Does everybody see that? Prince of power of air, known as Bel-Air. Again, Belial means worthless and lawlessness. His influence has been challenged since the creation of man. He is the king of the earth. He's the king of the political and governmental arena. He is the king of the financial and economics. He's the king of religion here on the earth. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Has everybody got it? Belial. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 16. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. "I say then, walk in the" what? Walk in the what? Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what is he saying? The only way to overcome the spirit of Belial is to be in the Spirit and backed by the anointing. That's the only way. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish or your flesh desires. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are" what? "Evident," which are what? "Adultery." So when a person is an adulterer, they're being influenced by the spirit of Belial because he's the lord of the flesh. "Fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and alike, things that promote the flesh. Of which I tell you before, and just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, Belial does not want you to make it home. He does not care if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He doesn't even care if you read your Bible. What he cares about whether you're filled with the Spirit of God. Because there are people that know the Bible and are still going to hell. Because they're still under Belial, the lord of the flesh. Is everybody okay? So in this, we see that it's so vitally important to stay filled with the Spirit. It's so vitally important in corporate worship. It's so vitally important. How many got touched Friday night? Whoa, man, the glory of God hit this place. Whew, to God be the glory. Whew. Verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Another control over self. "Against such there is" what? "No law." And those who are Christ, those who are filled with the Spirit, those who are led by the Spirit, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Why? Because they got dominion over Belial. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, the Lord was sharing with me the other day. He says, he gave me a scenario in the area of struggling. He said, there's a difference between struggling and attack of the enemy. I said, there's a difference. And he said, yes. He said, when you're attacked by the enemy, his purpose to attack you is to get you in the flesh so you struggle. You struggle because you're in the flesh. That's why. Because the attack got you in the flesh. If you can't have victory in the flesh, so you struggle. I said, whoa. He says, so to prevent that, don't get in the flesh. When the attack comes, stand up, pull out the sword, and use it. Quit trying to figure things out carnally. Quit trying to figure things out according to the flesh, according to the world's standards. People are trying to figure out their finances according to the world's standards. And they'll never see the supernatural move of God. Because they're trying to figure out things according to the world standard. Everything according to the world standard. Education according to the world standard. Finances according to the world standard. Health and doctors according to the world standard. All of these things according to the world standard. Instead of by the Spirit. Amen? They're influenced by the Lord of the flesh known as Belial. And the anointing is of the Spirit. That's why he says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Romans 8. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 5, please. Let's speak it together. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. Well, he just says if you practice the works of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are you at peace? Are you so used to torment, that's your peace now? Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. The carnal mind is of the flesh. That's why we need the mind of Christ. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, who are they pleasing? Belial, the Lord of the flesh. So you're either pleasing God, the Spirit of God, or you're pleasing Belial, the Lord of the flesh, Satan's kingdom. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, because the Spirit of God dwells in us, that's why it's our responsibility to stir ourselves up so he can take preeminence. But the Spirit of God can be in you and be dormant. He can convict, he can change, he can, come on, do this. And you're just, no, I ain't doing it. That's not how I feel like. Okay, God will never force you. He'll allow you to stay in your torment to your last breath. Does he want you to? No. How many times have we missed God? How many times have we missed the rescue? How many times have we missed his correction? How many times have we missed his counsel? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. He's not his. In other words, again, it goes back to those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Hey, because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're not, but you're still doing your own thing and not serving God, you're no longer his. You're not his. Because why? You break covenant then. When we break covenant, we're not his. Amen? Glory. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to go to verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, the body is dead. The flesh is dead because of sin. If you are being led by the Spirit of God, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are what? Verse 12. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Is everybody there? In verse 53. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. His flesh is his word, his blood is his spirit. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. He who feeds on me. Wow. That's why it's important, Lord, feed me. Lord, feed me from your throne room. Feed me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" He said, "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" He says in verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. Worthless. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." In other words, you didn't choose him. He chose you. He invited you. It's a terrible thing to reject the invitation. Now, in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? Because they got offended. Well, who promoted the offense? Belial. Belial promotes the offense. And the reason people are offended is because they ain't dead yet. 1 John chapter 5. Flesh profits nothing. It's worthless. It's ruled by Belial, the influencer of all flesh. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. In other words, if you're in the Spirit, you're no longer associated with the presence of darkness. But he who has been born of God keeps himself from the wicked one and does not touch him. The wicked one does not touch him. The wicked one does not touch him. Because he what? Keeps himself, fulfilling the word, come out from among them. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The world lies under the influence of the wicked one. Belial, the ruler, the Lord of the flesh. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true and we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the influence of Belial has been influencing government officials. It's been influencing the church. It's been influencing the economy. It's been influencing all things that are here associated with this world. And we can no longer allow its influence to penetrate us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Ooh. Praise God. Some of you are awake here today. Is everybody there? And I want you to know that influence is getting stronger. It's when the church rises up that the restraints are stronger and push back the enemy. But once a church begins to be influenced more again, we see the rise of evil rise. And it's that battle. It's like an up and down thing sometimes. In verse 1, it says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Are we in perilous times? Yeah, man, things are getting tough out there. "For men will be lovers of them," what? "Themselves." Why? Because of the influence of Belial. "Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." I get a lot of people to come up to me and say, "I'm spiritual." I already know they don't know the Lord. Just because they go to a church and say they're spiritual doesn't mean that they know the Lord. "I'm spiritual." "Yes, I'm living with someone." "Are you fornicating?" "Well, yeah." "Oh, that's why we live together." "But you're spiritual." "You're so spiritual, you're stupid, dumb, blinded, deceived, misled, bound under the authority of Belial, fulfilling the works of the flesh, and have no idea what's going on. None." And people come to me, "But she's a good Christian girl." "Well, is she sleeping with you?" "Well, yeah." "Well, she's not a good Christian girl. In fact, what is she doing with you? Because you're not a good Christian boy." See, Christian is to be Christ-like. Don't tell nobody you're a Christian if you're in fornication, because you're not. having a form of godliness and denying its power from such people turn away. And these are the sort that creep into households and ministries and everything else and try to bring in the presence of Belial. So the people begin to start. They started in the spirit. Now they're in the flesh. And their comfort is in the flesh now, no longer in the spirit. And they gossip, they slander, they fornicate, busybody. All of the foolishness of the world. They got to know everything. Because their fulfillment is of the world. Instead of hearing what God has to say. Is everybody okay? So we see the last days there will be more manifestation of the flesh. They'll be losing the restraints, holding back evil influence, and be under the authority of Belial more and more and more. In Hebrews 11. Actually, hold on a second. Go to verse 12. Go to verse 12. He said in verse 12, look at this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow what? Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Why? Because influence of Belial will increase. He said, but you must continue in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. In Hebrews chapter 11, Belial, lord of the flesh, uses individuals to murder, to kill. He sends demons. Remember, he's the lord over the demons. He sends them to influence people. Hebrews 11, in verse 35, talked about walking in faith and how many walked in faith. And he says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having attained a good testimony through faith, not received the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. One who got sawed in half was Isaiah. They sawed him in half, the prophet Isaiah. He prophesied about the coming of the Lord, and Belial got angry. He exposed Belial's, or Satan's, attempt to kill the Lord, and how, see, Isaiah prophesied all these things and exposed these things. Belial was angry and influenced the king and the rulers of that realm to kill him and saw him in half. It says, though, that while he was being sawed in half, that he was speaking in the Holy Spirit. Not one cry came from him. Oh, because he exposed Satan's plan and glorified God. Again, many have been influenced by the spirit of Belial. And I'm going to bring us a little bit up to date. Actually, I want to go back a little bit. If you think about it, look at Hitler. Killed 6 million Jews and many more of his own people in promotion of dictatorship and his will. He was a servant of darkness. He willfully served Satan. He was under the authority of Belial. There are others who have been either used or served, and they even look like them. One was Clinton, who was known as Nero, in the spirit of Nero. He was the fifth emperor of the Roman Empire, persecuted Christians, and when he would get them, he would burn them at night for light for the city. You talk about people that went through persecution. Obama's influences by Pharaoh. These are the spirits that they use. And the word Pharaoh also represents reconstruction. And what's the administration trying to do? Reconstruct, change laws, everything. There are these political arenas that are servants of darkness, whether willfully or either servants or slaves. But their influence is tremendous. And we see it increasing more and more and more. There'll be more persecution. We must be prepared. But there's something that Jesus gave us. He gave us the keys. The keys. And it's amazing how many believers do not use the keys of the kingdom. You know, to be spirit-filled and use the sword. Remember, we are called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Have we lost that purpose? And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the abilities and talents that God's given us to witness as Christians, Christ-like. Or have we fallen under the influence of Belial and our only success now is how much money we have or what we can do or whatever for self-gain? In the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, in verse 13, Matthew 16:13, and says that Jesus came in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say about me?" He was telling them. And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Now he's requiring a personal relationship. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, you're the anointed one. You're the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this revelation, I will build my church. On the anointing, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why? Because when you're backed by the anointing, the gates of hell cannot prevail. "And I will give you the what? Keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, whatever you speak in this realm, whatever spirit you bind will be bound in heaven," the unseen realm, the influence arena. "And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." These are the keys of the kingdom. Every believer should be using them. If you're a believer, if you are a follower. There is a war going on. There is a war going on. And every day is a battle. The kingdom of God does not advance without a military action and strategy. It does not advance without taking the heavenlies first. That's why prayer is a weapon. We access the unseen realm by what we speak. The word says, "Ask and you shall receive." Amen? "Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you." Never be afraid to ask. Whatever you're lacking, ask. God doesn't mind. You can never out-ask from God. He holds it all. And his desire is to give it to us. The thing is sometimes when we're asking something, we don't get it because the enemy steals it. Because we don't take our authority and dominion and bind blind, mute, and deaf these spirits. Especially the spirit of Belial. And I encourage you. I want to close at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to encourage you to begin to battle every morning. If you do not know how, go to theeternallibrary.org. All the information is on there. Spiritual warfare. Learn how to bind and loose. Learn how to get filled with the Holy Spirit and come out of the service or slavery of Belial, the Lord of the flesh. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there really is freedom. There really is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. There really is blessings. And then you won't look for fulfillment of the flesh. You'll look for fulfillment in God's presence. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men." Oh, I'm sorry. That's chapter 1. Hold on a second. But that sounded good, didn't it? Everything in here is good. 2:2, 2:1. 2:2, 2:1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is Christ in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in what? Warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. Let this seed be imparted to each and every one and protected. And Lord, as we stir ourselves up, that we may take our authority and dominion against the spirit of Belial that is taking many people out, that we may be sensitive and recognize the attack and the struggle. Lord, we ask for your blessing and your continued strength at the backing of your anointing to each and every one in Jesus' name.